Okay, hello everybody. Good evening. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Hope everyone is well and had a good week. You may see you're joining us this evening. So Baruch Hashem. Wednesday, you weren't able to connect, but now here you are. So welcome to our learning. So tonight's year is sponsored generously by Varda Birnbaum. We thank her very much for her sponsorship. She was very flexible. She said, a night when you do not have a sponsor, that's when I will sponsor. So Tiskli Mitzvos, so the Maisim Tov, got pushed off a few weeks, but Baruch Hashem, she said, any night that you need a sponsor, I'm available. With a Karsa Tov for these Shiurim, and Miriam, with a Karsa Tov to Miriam Goodman for starting the Shiur. Amish, that's a Varda from Baltimore wrote. And to all the Talmidos who enthusiastically learn Torah together, it is an integral part of my Shabbos preparation! Exclamation mark, said Varda. She also said that tonight is 27 Sivan, Chaf Zayin Sivan, which is my grandson's birthday, who is named after my beloved father, Zichrono Levracha, and this grandson's mother, Tivada L'chaim Tovim Ve'aruchim, is named after Varda's mother, Malka Bas Chaim Avigdor Aleha Hoshalom, whose 35th Yirtzeit was on 15 Sivan. And Varda Birnbaum wrote about her mother, Malka Bas Chaim Avigdor Aleha Hoshalom. My mother had amazing qualities, including the midos of Hakar Satov and Ayin Tova. However, Varda focused specifically on her mother's koach of tefillah, because she said, despite her limited Jewish education, she did grow up from, she went to public school in Lowell, Massachusetts in the 1920s and 30s. Nevertheless, she excelled in tefillah. She davened very slowly. Hebrew reading was an effort for her. Beyond the formal davening, she would talk to Hashem passionately and genuinely in her own words. After she lit candles, she spoke to Hashem for such a long time with no written tefillos other than the brecha, only from her heart. I assume she did not even understand the words of the formal tefillah, but it didn't matter. Her heart was attached and communicating with her Father in heaven. She always said and believed with her amunah and bitachon, quote, when you think you have no strength, Hashem gives you strength. May her neshama have an aliyah in the shchus of these divrei Torah. And Varda also chose to dedicate it as a refuah shleimah for Moshe Shlomo Halevi ben Etol, Moshe Shlomo Halevi ben Etol, who is actually the husband of one of our shir participants who had surgery this week. So he should have a refuah shleimah. And Varda tizki mitzos ulamaisim tovim. We thank you very much. So yes, it's a Pirkei Avos shir, but I'm going to begin by quoting the very end of Parsha Shlach. I'm quoting from the final psukim of Parsha Shlach. The final psukim of Parshas Shlach. Parshas Shlach is most famous because of Cheir HaMeraglim, which is really the overarching theme of the Parsha and the infamous sin that sealed the deal. And like the Mishnah tells us in Tainis Perek Dal, Mishnah Vav, the first calamity that befell our forefathers on Tisha B'Av was Nigzar Ala Vosinu Shalei Kansu La'aretz. So the calamity of the desert was the first Tisha B'Av in our national history, and that is really the main theme of the Parsha. We do have the mitzvah of Hafrashas Chala in this week's Sedra, but I want to look at the final psukim of the Parsha. I'm not putting it on screen share, because as soon as you hear them, you're going to see you all know them off by heart. Hashem said to Moshe, oh my goodness, Hashem's fasai tiftach ufiya gita secha. And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amar t'leim, you shall speak to the children of Israel and say to them, v'asu lahem tzitzis, and they shall make themselves tzitzis, akamfi v'gdeim l'doresem, and the corners of their garments for generations, v'nasnu al tzitzis haknaf pisil techeles, and you shall place upon the tzitzis a string of techeles, v'ha'alacham the tzitzis u'isem oso, and it will be for you for tzitzis u'isem oso, which is going to be the focus of our shiur tonight. And you will see it, and when you see it, uzchartem is komitzvos Hashem, you will remember all the commandments of God, v'asisem osem, and you shall do them, v'lo sasuru, connection to the beginning of the parasha, v'lo sasuru, when you see the tzitzis and you remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem and you do them, you will not stray after your heart and after your eyes that you stray after them. So there's an idea here of the focus on vision. You shall see the tzitzis uri isem oso, and when you see them, velo sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem, because you will see the tzitzis, you will not stray after your eyes. Lamantisku, so you shall remember, in order that you shall remember, Vasisim is called mitzvosai, and you shall do all my mitzvos, Visim kedoshim l'alokechem, you'll be holy to your God, and Yashem alokechem, and Shosesi, Eschem, and Shem, and Yashem alokechem, and Yashem alokechem, the Chumash doesn't say MS. Okay? That's not in here. So of course, it's very famous to us because that's what's known as the last paragraph of the Shema. The mitzvah of tzitzis is the end of Parsha Shlach. What's the beginning connection to the beginning of the Sedra? Velo sasuru. The spies were commanded latur et haaretz, to scout out the land. Unfortunately, instead of seeing the good with an ayin tova, like Varda Birnbaum wrote about her mother, they used an ayin ra to see the negative. We are commanded to see the tzitzis, which is a tikkun for their ayin ra, with our ayin tova uri isem oso. When you see a davar mitzvah, you should be inspired to remember that there's a ribon sha'olam. Why do we have tcheles? Tcheles dome liyam, yam dome lirakia, rakia dome lekisi hakavod. You'll remember that there's a ribon sha'olam, and you will not stray after your heart and your eyes like the spies did. So this is the mitzvah of tzitzis. One second, I have to make a shalak, okay? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiya bedvaro. Been a non-stop day. It's very interesting because the piece that I'm going to teach tonight, I came across at least a month ago, and I made a note. Pirkei Avos Parsha Shlach. This is what I want to teach. So I chazered and I reviewed and I prepared what I want to teach in preparation for this year. But I actually came across it at least a month ago. And what's so interesting is I am connecting it to the Mishnah we learned last week. There is no direct connection in the piece I'm going to teach you to the Mishnah we learned last week, but I think it connects directly to the Mishnah that we learned last week. So instead of stopping and doing a screen share, because that just takes longer, I am just going to paste it into the chat for all of you to see if you do not remember what we spoke about last week. So what did we speak about last week? It was Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. We spoke extensively about it. And what did we say? The Rebbe tells us, Histako b'shosha dvarim, you could read it along with chat, either than screen share. And I think that this Mishnah, which we spoke about last week, and it's funny because I chose to do this about a month ago, this piece that I'm going to teach you, not knowing that last week I was going to be teaching this Mishnah. But when I came across this piece, I said it relates to this Mishnah. So we already spoke about this Mishnah last week, and now we're going to speak it again about again this week. This Mishnah also focuses on a seeing eye. Histako b'shlosha dvarim, we're taking a totally different approach than last week. Histako b'shlosha dvarim, ve'ein ata bali de'aveira. You should pay attention to three things and you will not come to sin. Da malam malam imcha. You should know what is above you. Ayin ro'ah, an eye that sees. So once again, you have this concept of a seeing eye. What is it with the tzitzis? Uri isem oso. When you see, you remember. What should you remember? All the mitzvahs of Hashem. When you see them and you remember, and you don't stray after eyes, you remember. L'man tizku, v'asisim is kol mitzvosai, ani Hashem Elokeichi. Remember that there's a ribono shel olam. So what should you do so you should not come to sin? Says the Mishnah, Rabbi tells us, da malam malam imcha, knows what is above you. Ayin ro'ah, this idea of an eye that sees. V'ozen shama'as, an ear that hears. So there's like a tape recorder that's constantly running. It's told over in the Rabbi David Feinstein biography, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now, one time after his regular shiur, the tape recorder was still running. And a number of Talmidim came over and they were discussing with the Rosh Hashiva something that he had said in the shiur. And one of the Talmidim said to Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi David Feinstein, does the Rosh Hashiva realize the tape recorder is still running? I guess whatever they were talking about, maybe the Talmud thought the Rosh Hashiva didn't want on tape. He said, does the Rosh Hashiva know the tape recorder is still running? And the Rosh Hashiva said, it's not the tape recorder down here that I'm afraid of. It's the tape recorder up there that I'm afraid of. So there's a tape recorder that's always running. Ayin ro'ah, it's the eye that sees. Ve'ozen shamas, it's the ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. All your deeds are written in a book. Okay. I am connecting tzitzis to this Mishnah. Now I'm going to go to the piece that I came across a few weeks ago, and I saved it for this year. The piece is on Parsha Shlach. It is not on the Mishnah that we learned last week, and we are still learning this week. It is not on the Mishnah, but you are going to see how I think it powerfully relates to the teachings of Rabbi in this Mishnah. It is from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Livracha, in the Sefer Essays on Ethics. Essays on Ethics, that's what the Sefer is called. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Parsha Shlach. It starts not talking about Torah, but scientific studies. So listen, you're driving ever so slightly above the speed limit. You see a police car in your rearview mirror. You slow down. Now, I'm sure this has happened to many of us or other people who drive usually when we take trips. You're driving ever so slightly above the speed limit. All of a sudden, you see the police car in your rearview mirror. You slow down. or let's say Waze tells you that there's police ahead, you slow down. You know perfectly well drawing to exceed the speed limit, whether anyone is watching or not. By being human, the likelihood of being found out and penalized makes a difference. Now, it's funny, just today, one of my boys had a doctor's appointment this afternoon. So we went to the doctor and I parked. There was ample parking in the parking lot. It was not a busy parking lot. It was in the back of a building, ample parking. So we park, we go upstairs, and there's big signs that say stop. If you are not parked in space 204, which is designated for their suite, you must go move your car. There's a sign in the door. There's a sign by the front desk. There were no, hardly any cars. I wasn't taking up anybody else's spot. I didn't think parked in space 204. I didn't see it delineated. The last time I'd been to this doctor's office 2 years ago, there were no such signs. And I'm with my son, and I'm thinking to myself, nobody really is going to know if I'm not parked in about 204. But the sign says you have to move your car immediately. And I'm not taking anyone's spot because there was ample parking. And the doctor's office is running on time, and I'm only going to be here for 20 minutes, 30 minutes max. Who cares? But also, I'm with my son, and my son's also able to read the sign. And my son probably knows we're also not in spot 204. So here's a mitzvah of chinuch and honesty and integrity. And is anyone watching? So the answer is, like Rav Soloveitchik tells over the story with Rabbi Shaul Salanter. Rabbi Shaul Salanter, the Rav, tells us over. I said three sentences of Rabbi Sachs. I really interrupted him. Rabbi Shaul Salanter was driving in the wagon once. He was not driving. He was a passenger in a wagon. And the wagon driver all of a sudden saw hay by the side of the Rav tells us over. You have to know your sources. I always remember to quote my sources. And the wagon driver sees these piles of hay, bundles of hay on the side of the road, and he sees that there's no one around. So he puts the wagon into park. He, you know, makes the horses stop. Whatever it is, he jumps down. He starts to take hay. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Shaul Salanter says, they're watching, they're watching. So he turns around. He's so befuddled, and he jumps back into the wagon. He looks around. He sees there's no one watching. So he goes back to take more hay. And Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, he's watching. And the wagon driver comes back and finally says to the rabbi, what are you doing? There's no one watching. So Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, of course there's someone watching. There's always someone watching. Almighty God is watching. So what did I do? After I checked in, I said, I don't think I'm parked in space 204. Do I actually have to go down and move my car? So she hesitated for a second. I said, the parking lot's wide open. She said, yes, you have to go down and move your car. I said, is my son going to lose his spot at 9? She said, no. I went down and I moved my car. Why do Torah Yidden, I know this is not unique to me, I'm sure you would have done the same thing. Why do we inherently do what's right, hopefully, even when no one is watching? No one knows that's spot 204. Nobody would have known. There's no cameras in the parking lot. It wasn't being recorded down here. Why do we strive inherently to do what is right, even when no one is watching? You slow down when you see the police officer. You know you're not supposed to speed even when there's no police officer. But something about the likelihood of being found out and being penalized makes a difference. Recently, a series of experiments, I'm back at Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, a series of experiments have been conducted by psychologists to test the impact of the sense of being observed on pro-social behavior. Pro-social behavior, what happens if a person knows that they are being observed? These three researchers, he quotes their names, constructed a test to see whether a feeling of anonymity makes a difference. They randomly assigned a group of students either sunglasses or clear glasses. Sunglasses or clear glasses. Telling them they were testing reactions to a new product line. They were also in an apparently unrelated task. They did not tell the students. They said, we're testing these new glasses. Some of you get sunglasses, some of you get clear, like I'm wearing glasses. They said, now we have an unrelated task. The unrelated task is you are each given $6. You can share any of it with a stranger. Whatever amount you want to share, you could share. Whatever amount you don't want to share, you don't have to share. And then they told them to go out on the street. Those wearing clear glasses gave an average, because they averaged out the donations, $2.71 to the people in the street. Again, they probably didn't give $2.71, but they averaged out what everyone gave. While those wearing dark sunglasses gave an average of $1 less, $1.81. Now, they were only given $6 in the first place. Those wearing clear glasses where their eyes could be seen gave an average of $2.71 to charity. And those who were wearing dark glasses, i.e. could not be seen, gave an average of $1.81 to charity. The researchers concluded the mere fact that wearing sunglasses makes one feel unrecognized and unrecognizable and reduces generosity. In another experiment, the same researchers found that students given the opportunity to cheat on a test were more likely to do so in a dimly lit room than in a brightly lit room. Rabbi Sacks always gives all his sources. I don't look them up, but he tells you where all these studies are from. The more we think we may be observed, even the more we think we're being observed, the more generous and moral science has shown we become. So people wearing clear glasses, i.e. they can connect by the power of vision with those watching them, give more on average to charity than people wearing dark glasses. People in a dimly lit room, i.e. who think they cannot be seen, are more prone to cheat than people in a well-lit room, those who think they can be seen. Furthermore, two other researchers, Kevin Haley and Dan Fessler, tested students on the so-called dictator game. What is the dictator game? In which you are given $10, let's say, together with the opportunity to share any or none of it with an anonymous stranger. It's called the dictator game. I never heard of it. I don't know. You can share, let's say, an amount, $10. You have an opportunity. You can share it, part of it, or none of it with an anonymous stranger. Beforehand, listen carefully, without even realizing it was part of the experiment. This is incredibly fascinating. It tells you about human psyche and how the Ribono Shel Olam programmed us. Beforehand, without realizing this was part of the experiment, some of the students were briefly shown a pair of eyes on a computer screensaver, while others saw a different image but not eyes. Those exposed to the eyes gave 55% more to a stranger than those who did not see the eyes. In another study, researchers placed a coffee maker in a university hallway. Passersby could take coffee and leave money in a box. On some weeks, a poster with watchful eyes was hanging on the wall nearby. On other weeks, a picture of flowers. On the weeks when the picture of eyes were hanging up, people left an average of 2.76 times more money. And on weeks when the flowers rang, these are scientific studies. This is absolutely unbelievable. Human beings are programmed, this means, that when we believe or think or remember that we're being watched, we are more charitable and we are more moral. So if you're wearing dark sunglasses or clear glasses, science and scientific studies show that people wearing clear glasses give more to charity. It's unbelievable. When you have it on your own free will, you could leave coffee by the coffee maker, money by the coffee maker. It's voluntary, not obligatory. When there's a picture of eyes by the coffee maker on those weeks, they gave an average of 2.76 times as much money as when there's a picture of flowers. It's unbelievable. In a scientific experiment, some of the group were shown eyes flashing on a computer screen. They gave 55% more. And the people were shown different images on the computer screen. He quotes a book called Big Gods, B-I-G-G-O-D-S, Big Gods. The author, in quoting these studies, then concludes, watched people are nicer people. Watched people are nicer people. This is part of what makes religion a force for honest and moral behavior. The belief that God sees what we do. So again, about a month ago, I came across this essay in brief. I was looking up a piece for something else, and I made a note. And I said, Pirkei Avos Parsha Shlach, Essays on Ethics, Watchful Eyes, page 233. I'm not joking. Unbeknownst to me, last week, we already learned this Mishnah. Ayin Roa, Ozen Shemas, V'choma Secha B'Sefer Nechtavim. When I read this speech, that's the first thing that came to my mind, by the way. Rabbi Sacks does not even quote the Mishnah, but it's so obvious to me that this Mishnah is absolute proof that when a Jew fully internalizes the reality that the Ribono Shel Olam is always watching, of course you're going to move to the spot of Suite 204, even if the whole lot is empty, and even if you're not taking anyone else's spot, and even if the doctor's running on time, and even if they're never going to catch you, but the Ribono Shel Olam is watching. The wagon driver said to Rabbi Sacks, no one's watching me after the third time, you're making me crazy, he said, someone's watching you. The belief that God sees what we do is part of what makes religion mold and shape our honest behavior. It is no coincidence, says Rabbi Sacks, that as belief in a personal God, as belief in a personal God and some higher power has waned in the West, surveillance and other means of watching needs to increase. Everywhere you go, there's a camera. Ring. Every person now has at their door personal recording. Why do we need it? Because if society does not believe in God, the less we believe in a watchful God, the greater depraved behavior becomes, the more dishonest we become. Studies prove it. These aren't from Erlich HaYidin. They're just testing regular people in the Welt. And they're finding that if eyes are by the coffee machine, a picture of eyes, a picture, not a ring, not a security camera, a picture of eyes, people are more likely to leave more money in the box. He quotes Voltaire. I'm saying that wrong. Voltaire. Voltaire, who once said, whatever his personal view on religion is, he wanted his attorney, tailor, and servants to believe in God. Because if his attorney, tailor, and servants believed in God, he knew he would be cheated less. Not only do we behave differently, not only do these experimental findings prove that it makes a difference to the way we behave, but rather we need to be reminded of it. Not only do we need to know that eyes are watching, we need to be reminded that eyes are watching. In another test conducted by another pair of scientists, participants, listen to this. You know, the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created a human being is just unbelievable. The fact that seeing a picture of eyes can influence someone to leave more money in the coffee box, a picture of eyes, it's not a camera. The fact that people wearing sunglasses give less than people wearing regular glasses. Listen to this study. In one test conducted by two researchers, participants were exposed to words. These words were flashed before them for less than 100 milliseconds. This is mind-boggling. Participants were exposed to words that flashed before them for less than 100 milliseconds. Not 1 second, not 1 millisecond, less than 100 milliseconds. It's long enough to be detected by the brain, but not long enough to be detected by your conscious awareness. So you're not even aware that you saw these words. This is a scientific study. They're not learning Pirkei Avos. They're not learning Parsha Shlach about Velos Asur Achorei Levadchem Vachorei Enichem. They're not learning Uveisem Oso Uzchartem as Komet Zvos Hashem. Every single thing in the human condition and experience is in Torah. The Torah knew way before these scientists came along, Uveisem Oso Uzchartem. Way before these studies in modern day came along to prove this to be true, the Torah tells it to be true. If you see something, you remember something, you know there's a God, you act differently. You're going to move your car. It's a tircha to go down. No one really cares what spot you're parked in. It's true. It's true. Whether you're bonus or Monson, if you're an emistic person. By the way, if my son was not with me, I still would have told her, I'm not parked in 204. Do I need to go move the car? It happened to be. It was a bonus because I was able to be mechanic as well. Participants were exposed to words. This is mind-boggling. The words flashed before them for less than 100 milliseconds. These are controlled studies. You want to know the sources? You can look up Essay on Ethics. It gives you all the footnotes. Go find them. The participants were exposed to these words long enough to be detected by the brain, but they don't even enter your conscious awareness. So if you ask this person, did you see the word bear? They would say no. Did you see the word flower? No. The word eyes? No. The word God? No. Whatever the words, they flashed words. They weren't even consciously aware that they saw these words, but they were detected by the brain. They were then given a test. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. They were then given a test in which they had the opportunity to cheat. So none of the participants were knowingly, consciously aware of the words that they saw. The Torah is unbelievable. When the Torah mina shemayimi, when the Torah says v'asu lem tzitzis, what's the purpose? V'haya lechem tzitzis uri isam oso uzchartam es komet zvos Hashem. Listen to this. Those who had been shown words related to God and religion, for less than 100 milliseconds, were significantly less likely to cheat than people who had been shown neutral words. So some people were shown words related to God and religion, and some people were shown the words flowers, drink, water, sky, sun, shirt, sleep. And some people were shown words such as prayer, theology, spirituality, I don't know, charity, loving kindness, omnipotent God. Their brain didn't even know they saw these. No, their brain knew. They didn't even, if you would have asked each group, what words did you see? They say, we couldn't read them. They were too fast. We don't even know what we saw. The same result was yielded by another test in which beforehand, some of the participants were asked to recall the Ten Commandments before they took a test, and then they were given the opportunity to cheat. So they had one group. They said, do you recall any of the Ten Commandments? The other group was asked to remember the last 10 books they read. Merely being reminded of the Ten Commandments reduced the tendency to cheat. Way before modern science came along, the Torah tells you. One second, please. Because I just thought of something. I just want to make sure I'm not plagiarizing Rabbi Sacks and I didn't read it here. No. Because I just thought of something. From Shira Shirim. And then get it for you. Wow. I just thought of something. This is from Shira Shirim. I'm putting it in the chat again. Okay. Perek Beis. Look at these psukim. Kodo di hinezeba. The voice of my beloved comes. Midaleg al harim. It's skipping over the mountains. Mikapetz al hagvaos. It's jumping, skipping, leaping upon the hills. Dome dodi litzvi. My beloved is compared to a hart. Ola ofer ha'ayalim. How's that translated? A gazelle or a young hart. Hineza omed achar kosolenu. Behold, this one stands after our wall. Mashkiach, look on the chat. I wrote the pasuk so you could see what I'm saying. Mashkiach min hachalonot. Gazing, supervising from the windows, meitzitz min acharikim, peering from the lattices. Now clearly, meitzitz min acharikim, peering from the lattices, is the same lashon as tzitzit. In this pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Shlomo HaMelech describes the beloved as standing behind the wall, supervising or watching from the window, peering from the lattices. Now, I will tell you that the Medrash tells us, this pasuk is a reference to the Shekhinah that never leaves the Kosel Ma'aravi. Okay, this is one of the main sources we have, that the Shekhinah never leaves the Kosel Ma'aravi. The pasuk says, Hine ze omed achar kosalenu. The Medrash says, Beferush, it's the Kosel Ma'aravi. There's a difference between why it says Hashem is peering, gazing, looking from the window and peering from the lattices. I don't want to get into that right now. Mashkiach min achalonot, he's looking out the window. Meitzitz min acharikim. But this is a pasuk that's further proof that Hashem is always watching us. He is peering from the lattices. But what's the word that's used for peering from the lattices? Meitzitz. It's the exact same word as tzitzis. The tzitzis are meant to remind you that Hashem is always watching. Not only do you see the tzitzis and remember Hashem, but Hashem is meitzitz. Hashem sees you and you must see him, kavyachal. When you see the tzitzis, u'ri'isem osho, u'schartem es kol mitzvos Hashem, you see the tzitzis, you remember there's a ribon Hashem. The flip side is meitzitz min acharikim. Hashem is seeing, Hashem is peering, Hashem is gazing. Hashem, kavyachal, is using the medium of the tzitzi, meitzitz, to gaze upon us. So the tzitzis are a dual reminder. On the one hand, we see the tzitzis and remember God. And on the other hand, kaviyachal, through the tzitz, Hashem gazes and sees us. Wow. Those who were shown words related to God for less than 100 milliseconds, which is not long enough to be consciously aware that they even saw the words, but their brain could perceive them, were then given an opportunity to take a test. Those who saw words relating to God were significantly less likely to cheat than those people would see neutral words. Another researcher surveyed the willingness of Christians to give online charitable donations. The response was shocking, mind-boggling. The response was 300% greater if the appeal was made on a Sunday than on any other day of the week. Christians, not people of non-denominational, not people of no faith. A researcher surveyed the willingness of religious Christians to give an online charitable appeal. The response was 300% greater if the appeal was made on a Sunday. The participants did not change their mind about their religious beliefs. However, simply on Sunday, they are more likely to have thought of God. And when you're thinking of God, you're more likely to be charitable. What makes a difference in our behavior is less what we believe than the phenomenon of being reminded of what we believe. We must be reminded of what, by the way, that's why it's so important to keep learning. Because learning constantly reminds you, reinforces, fortifies what you believe. It's not enough to know. You have to be reminded of what you know. Why do we have the Sheish Zechiras? Why do I have to say these six things every single day? I said them yesterday, the day before. Why do I have to be reminded? Why do I have to learn the same parsha that I learned last year, the year before? My gosh, I learned it already. I have to learn it again. It's not enough to think about what, to know what you believe. You have to be reminded of what you believe. And that's exactly what the Torah says in this passage of Tzitzis. You might know about the mitzvahs, but you need to be reminded about the mitzvahs. When you remember, you will then do them. This is precisely the psychology, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, by the mitzvah of Tzitzit in Parsha Shlach. The Tzitzit, they shall be your Tzitzit, you shall see them. Remember all the Lord's command. He quotes the passage in English. We already quoted it multiple times in Lashon HaTorah. Now, if you don't like enough all of those sources, because they're not Jewish sources, but they're just incredible, because they really show you, Hashem put every single thing in the Torah. Hashem built the totality of the human experience into the Torah. It's right here. I don't need the researchers to tell me, Uzchartem u'ri'isem v'asisem. Not in that order. U'ri'isem uzchartem v'asisem. Yes, researchers prove it, but the Torah tells it to me. It's fascinating. So again, the parsha is not talking about our Mishnah, and Rabbi Sachs is not talking about our Mishnah, but to me, it's so... I forgot to put it on the chat for you. I put it in, and I forgot to press enter. It's now in the chat for you now. My beloved is compared to a heart, to a, what was the other, a gazelle or a heart. Hine H-A-R-T, not H-A-R-T. Hine ze omer achar kosaleinu, mashkiach min achalano, meitzitz min acharikim. Behold, this one stands behind our wall. Zuk the madrash. The wall is the kosa ma'aravi. He's looking out of the windows. Kaviyachol, there are windows in the kosa. Again, not for tonight, but there's a difference between chalonot and acharikim. I'm not doing it now. But Hashem is meitzitz min acharikim. So it's not only that we were at tzitzis. Kaviyachol, Hashem is tzitzis. Kaviyachol. Kaviyachol. We know Moshe saw him wrapped in a talis and tefillin. So he does have tzitzis. So we see our tzitzit and remember God, and God sees through his tzitzit and remembers us. And they have a mutual beneficial relationship when we both remember each other. Halavai, we should remember God. God should remember us. We should be zochah to be, not only, but he should be by the kosel, he should be by the base of Mikdash already. Lest this is not enough to you, Rabbi Sachs now quotes a gemara. This is a famous gemara, and I saw this in other places brought down when I was preparing for this week's shiur. I think one of my favorite... Not favorites, wrong word. One of the most impactful studies of all that he quoted is the one that people who see words related to religion flashing before their eyes for less than 100 milliseconds, not enough time to even be consciously aware, and then given an opportunity to cheat on a test, were significantly less likely to cheat than people who show neutral words. It's mind-boggling. It shows you the intricacy of the human being, of the human mind, of the complexity of what God created, of Godless HaAdam, how tremendous man is, and how the Torah is so prophetic and profound and relates to every single experience in our life. Now we go to the Gemara Menachos. And again, when I was preparing Shir, I saw this Gemara related in other places as well. The Gemara Mesachos Menachos tells us of a man. This is the Gemara, not scientific studies from, I don't know, the 21st century. The Gemara tells a story of a man who, in a moment of moral weakness, decided to pay a visit to a certain prostitute. He was in the course of removing his clothing. I'm not telling you an X-rated story. There's a Gemara. He's in the course of removing his clothing when he saw his tzitzis, and he immediately froze. The prostitute asked him, what was the matter? And he said, I have tzitzis. These four fringes have become accusing witnesses against me for the sin I'm about to commit. Not only did he not sin, but the woman was so impressed by the power of tzitzis that she converted to Judaism, says the Gemara. We sometimes fail to understand, says Rabbi Sacks, the connection between religion and morality. Again, I think, and it's the first source in your chat, histakel, b'shlosha dvarim. Pay attention, gaze upon, consider, think about, look at three things. The power of seeing to integrate into not only our moral awareness, but our moral subconscious. Why did I move the car? Because there were signs on the door that says move the car. Because I try to live a Torah year life. That's why I moved the car. Because it's true, the receptionists, I don't really think they care. Because when I said to have to move my back car, they paused for a minute. The spots were wide open. It was not busy. I was not taking anyone else's parking spot. But the sign says stop, move the car immediately. So what should I do? Who's watching? Ayin ro'eh. Ozen shama'as. V'chom asecha b'sefer nechtavim. If you not only know that, but remember that, you always strive to live a life of morality and honesty. It's unbelievable. We sometimes fail to understand the connection between religion and morality. According to Rav Nissim Gaon, the moral imperative accessible to reason has been binding since the dawn of humanity. The moral imperative accessible to reason, to our human reason, has been binding since the dawn of humanity. We have a moral sense. We know certain things are right. We know certain things are wrong. But we also have conflicting desires. For those of you who learn with me at Shari, that's what we're spending so much time talking about. We have conflicting desires. What are the conflicting desires? In a word, the Yetzer Hara. Sasur, achrei levavchem, v'achrei einechem. We are drawn to do what we know we should not do. Anytime you spoke Lashon Hara, you were drawn to do what you should not do. Anytime you didn't move your car because you were too lazy to go downstairs, and who cares if I'm not in spot 204 because no one is going to know anyway, you were drawn to do after what you should not do. And often the reality is, for all of us, we yield to temptation. And he writes here, anyone who has ever tried to lose weight knows exactly what that means. You know you shouldn't eat three pieces of cake. You know you shouldn't eat five donuts, so why do we do it? In the moral domain, this is what the Torah means when it says, Velo sasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. Your heart desires, halev chomet, says Rashi, your ayin ro'eh. Says Rashi, vel gufo says avera. He now quotes another philosopher who says, the work of the philosopher consists in assembling reminders. It's a powerful line. The work of a philosopher consists in assembling reminders. We could assemble people. We could assemble ingredients. We could assemble coins. We could assemble the cutlery. Assembling reminders. In Judaism, the purpose of the outward signs, tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin, is precisely that, to assemble reminders. On our clothing, tzitzis, on our homes, mezuzah, on our arms and our head, yad and rosh, tefillin. It reminds us that certain things are wrong. We see that human beings need reminders. Even if you know there's a God, it's not enough, chas v'shalom, to say such a thing, to know there's a God. You need to be reminded. The Torah uses the word zachar over and over and over and over and over again. It's not just to know, it's to remember. Including in this passage, uzchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. Assembling reminders reminds us that certain things are wrong. And even if no other human being sees us, God sees us. And will call us to account. That's why I moved my car. And it's funny that a mamash happened today. I haven't been to this doctor with this child in 2 years. It was just a regular checkup, Baruch Hashem. Everything's fine. But whatever. It was an ENT. Everything's fine. It's just a regular checkup before the summer. But the point is that no one's going to know if I didn't move the car. And you wouldn't have known if I didn't tell you. And the receptionist couldn't care less. Assembling reminders means tzitzis, mezuzah, tefillin. That certain things are wrong. And even if no other human being sees us, God sees us and will call us to count. Says the Rav Yisrael Salanter to the wagon driver, they're watching three times. Finally, he said, no one's watching. Why can't I take the hay? We now have the empirical evidence that reminders make a significant difference to the way we act because science even proves it. One of the blessings and curses of human nature is that we use our power of reason, not always and only to act rationally, but also to rationalize and make excuses for the things we do. Do I really have to go downstairs? We're waiting for the appointment. I'm having such a rush day. I'm just using this as an example. Fill in your own example. You all have them. Just happened to be that it happened today. Isn't that crazy? We make excuses. We rationalize for the things we do, even when we know we should not have done them. Who's really going to know if I didn't move the car? No. And am I going to get a ticket? No. Am I taking anyone else's spot? No. Is it wide open with tons of spots? Yes. Am I going to be out of here in half an hour? Yes. That's rationalizing and making excuses for the things we do, even when we know we should not have done them. That perhaps is one of the lessons the Torah wishes us to draw from the story of the spies. He now connects it back to the beginning of the Sedra. Had they recalled what God had done to Egypt? Esar Malkos, he decimated the most powerful empire in the ancient world. Certainly, if they remembered what God had done in Egypt, they would not have said, Lo nuchal la'alot ki chazaku mimenu. They would never have said, we can't do it because these people are stronger than God. How could they have said that? But they were in the grip of fear. Strong emotion, especially fear, distorts our perception. Tzitzis, with their thread of blue, reminds us of heaven. Because the Gemara says, why do we have a psil techeles? Techeles dome le yam. Techeles reminds you of the sea. The yam dome le rakia. The sea reminds you of the firmament of heaven. Rakia dome le kisya kavod. And the rakia resembles the kisya kavod. So when you see the tzitzis, you think, oh, techeles. Now you think of the blue of the sea. Now you think of the blue of the sky. Now you think of the kisya kavod. Tachas raglav kimasa levnes hasapir. Sefer Shmos Perich of Dal is a sapphire brick of Yachal under his feet, under his throne. So when you see the tzitzis, you remember the sea, you remember the sky, you remember the Kisei HaKavod, you remember God, you remember the mitzvos. The man was about to sin with the prostitute and he was undressing and he saw his tzitzis. He says, I can't do it. She said, what's wrong? He said, the tzitzis, I remember there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't remember before he went into the prostitute. He didn't know there was a Ribbono Shel Olam. He did know. But what happens? We forget. We need reminders. Assembling reminders. V'haya lechem letzitzis ureisem oso uzchartem eskol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem oso. And then v'lo sosur achorei levavchem v'achoreinechem asher donim achoreim leman tizku. Mamash the Torah says the purpose of tzitzis is to remember. Two times. Uzchartem eskol mitzvos Hashem leman in order that tizku. We shall remember. Tzitzis with their thread of blue reminds us of heaven. And that reminder is what we most need if we are consistently to act in accordance with the better angles of human nature. It's fascinating to me, and I posted it now in the chat, that not only do we have tzitzis, but Kaviyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, also has a form of his tzitzis. Meitzitz min acharikim. By the Kosa Ma'aravi, when he peers through the lattices, the lashon used is meitzitz. So we already know, because I say it 1,000 times, maybe more. I know Lashon in Torah is an accident. So it's not an accident that the verse used to describe the Ribbono Shel Olam peering, looking, gazing at us is a Lashon of Tzitzis. And the word used to describe our gazing, so to speak, on the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Lashon of Tzitzis. We need the reminder that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to see the Tzitzis. It reminds us to act morally, ethically, religiously. It makes us more charitable people. So that even when no one human is watching, a Yid will always remember who with a capital W is watching. Yes, it relates to the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. You're correct. Because the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol sat on it Kodesh Lashem, or Lashem Kodesh. And I just learned something very interesting last week, which I never knew at the Shabbos table, that the Kohen Gadol, my son actually said it, Ari said at the table, he was telling over Dvar Torah, why does the menorah have steps to go up? By the way, Fran Siklik, what about the almonds that blossomed on Aaron's stick in next week's Parsha? I forget the exact lashon. It's also over there, tzitz, they were blossoming. The shkedim were I don't remember the lesson. I want to look it up right now. So my sense is something very interesting. Why does the menorah have three steps in front of it? It was very short. If you look at the Amos, it really wasn't very tall. I forgot what measurement he said. Why does it need steps? I never knew this. He said the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to raise his arms over his tzitz. Did anyone know that? I never knew that. I thought that was very, very interesting. We had a guest at the table who said yes, she was aware of that. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to raise his arms over the tzitz. So in other words, he needs steps to go up to the menorah, so it's level with him, so he's not raising up. It does relate, of course, to the tzitz, because what does the tzitz say? Kodesh Lashem or Lashem Kodesh. Above that, you can't raise your hands. Why not? Because who is always above you? It relates exactly. Who is always above you? The tzitz represents Kodesh Lashem. Or it said Lashem Kodesh. Don't raise your arms above that, because God is always above you. You're not above him. And when we remember, when we see, we will remember, we will do, we'll be Torah Yidden, even when no one is watching. And if this doesn't relate to our Mishnah, then I don't know what does. Have Rabbi Omer, Histaka B'shlosha Dvarim, Ve'ein Ata Bali De'avira. Look, pay attention, contemplate, consider. Even if it's so fast that your subconscious is aware, but you're not even consciously aware, it will still change your behavior. By the way, frightening shir when you think about Shmir Seinayim. And what we see when we go out into the streets in the summer in non-Jewish society, frightening shir when we consider what it means to watch Chas V'Shalom movies or television that are not sanctioned by Torah, and certain things happen on the screen that a neshama should not be viewing. Oh, it's very short. It only happened for 2 minutes. I looked away. I only saw the beginning. I didn't watch the whole thing. Now I'm going to watch the rest of the movie. It affects you. And if you don't believe the Torah, maybe you believe science. It affects you in a very powerful, visceral way. Hashem has always made tzitz min acharikim upon us. We always have to be made tzitz upon the tzitzis u'isim u'zchartem as kol mitzvah Hashem. And this way we become moral, ethical, yosher, dveikim b'di ribono shel olam. It's unbelievable. It's really just a reminder of how not only beautiful it is, but how incredible the Torah is, that it plumbs the depths of every single human experience that could possibly exist. It should give us not only an appreciation for what I taught tonight, which I think it's mind-blowing. I really do. I'm not going to say it's maybe one of my favorite shiurim, because I say that all the time. So forget that. But it should give us an appreciation for how divine Torah is. How incredible Torah is. There's not one thing that happens to us that is not in the Torah Kedusha. Not one single thing. The purpose of the tzitzis is to see, to remember, to do. Histaka b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein ata bali de'avera. Da mala mala mimcha. Ayin ro'ah. They're watching. Ozin shamas. Said Rabbi David Feinstein, I'm not afraid of the tape recorder down here. I'm afraid of the tape recorder up there. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. Did you park in spot 204? Or in some other spot because you thought no one was watching? I'm not such a tzaddikus. You all have the same story. I'm using it as an illustration since I'm the Maggedet Shir, and it just happened to me today. I'm teaching this tonight. The Torah is unbelievable. Really, really. It's just, you should be in awe. Indescribable awe. Not only of Godless of Adam, but of the Godless of Torah. Avai should be zocha to live with the awareness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is always watching. Unlike one of the Gedolia poskim, Gadol Dor, Rav Dov Feinstein said, I'm not afraid of the tape recorder here. I'm afraid of the tape recorder there. I thank Varda Birnbaum very much, especially because she said, I'll happy to do any week when you don't have a sponsor. She was willing and she moved forward 2 weeks. Because I really appreciate it. I'm sure everyone else appreciates it as well. She specifically thanked Miriam Goodman for starting this year and all the Talmidos who enthusiastically learned Torah together because it's an integral part of her Shabbos preparation. Wish a very happy birthday, Chav Zayin Sivan, to her grandson. And also an Aliyah Neshama for her mother, whose 35th year service, 15 Sivan Mal, Kabas Chaim Avigdor, and Hashem Shalav and Aliyah. And she also graciously dedicates his Divrei Torah as a Zechus Rafua Shalema to one of our Shir Chabura, whose husband had very, very serious surgery earlier this week, Moshe Shlomo Levi Ben Etel. Rafua Shalema, I wish everyone a Givaldic Shabbos. I hope you enjoyed. I just think it's so beautiful. But as Azar Hashem, we have sponsors for next week, Kol Hashem Kitov. I will see you then. Have a beautiful week and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.